Darling, please don't wake me up too soon. Early morning, little girls, don't wake me up too soon. If you got any place you wanna go, go ahead on. Come back and meet me in the afternoon.
The Brian and Vinny Show here on August 16th, 2011. A lot of stuff to talk about today. No 24/7 tonight, I'm afraid. No treats. Because there were so many things to talk about from this weekend. We had SmackDown, we had Raw. What else do we have?
SummerSlam?
I presume you didn't see UFC on Versus.
I did not see UFC on Versus.
You missed out.
Oh, well.
SummerSlam. Oh, well, he says.
Let me guess. Some guys got beat up.
Just the best fight of the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Vinny doesn't see in MMA.
I'm sure if I had watched, I would have had fun. But what does the winner get? what's at stake in these fights?
I don't want to get into a big sporting argument or anything like that, Vinny.
Yeah.
But when you said, let me guess, two guys got beat up.
Yeah.
My first thought was, let me guess. Some dudes took a ball to the other side of the field.
Fair enough.
Same thing.
Fair enough.
Well, they're both entertaining.
I find, well, okay, listen.
I'm a huge football fan.
Oh, yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
No, I did not watch the show. I do not have time to watch the show. I think one night in the month of August, I've gotten more than 6 hours of sleep. So I have been very busy, and...
You could be dead soon.
That'd be an improvement. No, that's not true. I did not watch a show that had nothing at stake, and I'm over UFC. if Brock Lesnar and Chris Leben are not fighting, I have something in it for me.
Wow.
I need characters. There's no characters in UFC anymore.
Well, it's hard to get into characters if you don't watch the shows.
You gotta be there.
You missed Ben Henderson, who's awesome. Ben Henderson. And there was a storyline that was... There was a better storyline in that fight than, I think, anything on SummerSlam. I could be wrong. In fact, the two main events on the show, there was a better storyline than anything in SummerSlam this year. Ben Henderson and Jim Miller had a fight. And the storyline is that you can't submit Ben Henderson. You could put him in a guillotine. You could put him in an arm bar. You could put him in a leg lock, and you cannot make the man submit. It's impossible. So, Jim Miller went in, and for 3 rounds, he tried to submit Ben Henderson. And, of course, it failed, and he got punched in the face repeatedly for trying.
That part sounds great.
It was awesome. That was the best fight I may have seen so far this year. And then the main event, there was something on the line. It was a man's retirement fight. Chris Lytle already said before the fight that he was going to retire when it was over. And he was facing Dan Hardy, who had 3 losses in a row. And normally they cut you when you have 3 losses in a row. So if he lost, it would be 4 losses in a row. So essentially, if Chris Lytle won, you'd have the first main event where both men were gone when it was over.
Except one guy was gone either way, so there was no suspense. And the other guy lost and is still there, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a stipulation.
I didn't watch the show, so I don't see what the point in arguing about it is.
And Chris Lytle made the record of $500,000 in bonuses in his career, the most ever for any fighter.
Well, there's something.
Yeah.
That's substantial.
$500,000 in bonuses because they gave him 2 bonuses. They gave him the best fight bonus, even though, quite frankly, he didn't deserve it. The semi-main was much better. I won't argue anymore, but I got to say one more thing before we get on, Vinny. just to get you in a chipper mood before we start talking about Super China Buffet. These mics are very powerful.
Okay.
Yeah. So please don't sip that coffee.
Ah, I see.
That is up there with me chomping into the mic. I don't care about the listeners, but if I hear that slurping, I don't know what I'll do. I'll do a flip.
Well, there's an encouragement right there.
Over this table, onto you. Well, it is, that was the other thing I forgot we had to talk about, is Super China Buffet Day. It was this weekend. A lot of eating was to be had. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about SmackDown here. Because we got to go in order for everybody who happens to be listening to this show for free. Here on the Brian and Vinny Show on August 16th, 2011. Here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Vinny's going to start with SmackDown because I didn't watch the show.
Wonderful.
UFC was better than SmackDown. Promise.
You know, that's probably right. So, Brian, you didn't watch SmackDown. We'd like to guess how it opened.
Hunter came out and cut a promo.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley hit the ring and cut a promo.
Shocking.
He called the SummerSlam main event probably the biggest match in the history of this industry. Nice try. That's all I can say is nice try. He booked a bunch of matches for this show, including Zeke defending the Intercontinental title against Cody Rhodes, Alberto versus Bryan in a Battle of Money in the Bank winners, and the Great Khali versus Randy Orton. He was about to announce a match for Christian when Christian interrupted. Christian was talking about his big announcement and said Hunter hadn't even bothered to call him. Hunter explained he didn't give a crap. Christian said he was willing to sue the WWE for an unsafe working environment for booking him against an angry man in Randy Orton. So he said if Hunter didn't pull the stip, he was going to sue Hunter, his children, John Laurinaitis, every fan who buys a ticket to SummerSlam, and every fan who watches the show on pay-per-view. So you were threatened here, Brian. Legal action. Hunter said Hunter no-sold this, basically. He said that if Christian refused to wrestle, he would be under breach of contract, and then Hunter could fire him and take his world title away. So Christian said, fine, I'll fight. I'll beat Randy Orton anyway, and I'll beat whoever you have for me tonight. And Hunter said, good, because your opponent is Sheamus. So it was a good segment. The announcement thing was... It was a lame payoff to something that was a lame throwaway line on one Raw promo. So, you know, it was your typical useless SmackDown storyline.
You know, a guy got real mad at me last week because of my cover story in the newsletter when I said that the SummerSlam buy rate was likely to massively disappoint. I think those are the exact words I used. Anyway, he was not happy with that whatsoever, and he let it be known. And we ended up having like I don't even know how many pages of thread was, like 10 pages. He just went on and on and on. Anyway, it is very early, and you know, we'll see in about 2 months what the final number for SummerSlam ends up being. But right now, it is looking like this fella may have to issue me an apology. Mm-hmm. And Hunter as well.
Because not good?
He will also be wrong. It's not looking good. Mm. It is not looking good. So anyway, let's... and also, I mean, this is not a... obviously, you know, the real numbers will be a better indicator, but I can tell you that...
You don't say.
Well, sure, but, you know, people have mentioned this many times, and Dave has brought it up, but the amount of feedback that Dave receives very often correlates to a buy rate. So, there have been exceptions, of course. You know, shows that are very much marketed at a hardcore audience usually do better in the polls than they do in the buy rates. But for your normal show, for your average show, very good correlation. You know, a TNA pay-per-view will get 50 responses. And a regular WWE pay-per-view will get, I don't know, 150, let's just say. And like a big show like WrestleMania will get 250 or something like that. Whatever the numbers are. But suffice to say, The SummerSlam numbers, the feedback so far this year is down substantially from last year. And last year's number was not a great domestic number. It was just over 200. So I'm not saying that SummerSlam is going to do the same domestically that Money in the Bank did, but it may not do a whole hell of a lot better, which would be a complete disaster. And you do know who would be blamed in such a situation.
John Cena, of course.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, John Cena and Triple H will take the blame for this failure.
Yeah, what can you do?
2 months, everybody. We'll find out. But not looking too promising at this point.
So Christian wrestled Sheamus. It was fine. And then the finish was the lame thing of the champion in the middle of the match, walking out, grabbing his belt, and going to the back and getting countered out. So that was weak, especially after a promo where Hunter threatened Christian that if he didn't wrestle, he would be breaching his contract. Didn't Christian, in effect, refuse to wrestle here?
Sure.
Isn't that a breach of contract?
Vince, you're thinking too much.
I am thinking too much. Match was fine. AJ and Caitlin wrestled Beth, Phoenix, and Natalya. The highlight here
Thank
was...
Thank God I have this on tape.
Oh, yeah. The highlight of this was Beth tagging in... Or excuse me, Natalya tagging in Beth, and Natalya slapped her hand so hard. And all I could think was, if your uncle had tagged in your dad that hard, your dad would have killed him. Don't do that.
You mean Wayne and Carlos? What a tag team.
I was thinking her uncle and dad.
I see.
Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart, everyone.
I see.
She has famous relatives.
Wayne and Carlos had to do with anything.
No. Although that would be a great team, actually.
Hell of a
now
team.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
So.
An old Tank Abbott and an old Hector Guerrero.
Mondo.
Mondo.
Yeah.
I have an uncle named Mondo.
Does he look like a Guerrero?
Well, of course.
Oh, because your dad does look like Mondo Guerrero.
They are Mexicans, Vince.
Well, I realize this, but he doesn't look like Hector. He looks like Mondo.
Fine.
Beth pinned AJ. AJ tried a lucha roll, and Beth powered out of it and hit a bitch clamp for the win. That was kind of cool. And then Natalya put Caitlin in the sharpshooter just to be a bully. And it was funny because they piped in boos and crowd noise. Meanwhile, you could see the fans. They were cheering and applauding. They like these girls. They're not supposed to. We had Teddy and Zach were fucking around backstage. Cody and Ted interrupted, and it really led to nothing. And then Oksana arrived. They're still playing saxophone music when she walks in. And
They've given up on this show.
The payoff here was that Teddy got nervous and said he had to go to his car and fix his stick shift. And Oksana said she knew how to drive stick. It's a PG sex joke. They showed a video of Mark Henry's destruction. Do you know what happened on the show?
Do I know what happened?
Have you paid any attention at all?
I read the spoilers. Right. I've forgotten them all.
So they show this video of Mark Henry's path of destruction. The next thing you see is Johnny Curtis warming up backstage. And then Mark Henry walks in.
Yes, I know where you're going.
He said it was a shame that Curtis's career would begin and end on the same day.
I knew this a month before it happened. I called this.
No, you didn't, because we were arguing and you said, no, you said that you thought these vignettes were supposed to get him over.
Well, yeah, but I also said he may as well just quit because he's doomed.
Well, they were clearly not trying to get him over. That's all I can say. They cannot have devoted that much TV time to this for the past 2 months and had this be the payoff and had it be their plan for him to be a star. There's no way. So, yes, Henry said that you're wrestling me tonight. And he said he liked Curtis's vignettes, which was a lie. And he had another play on words he could use and told him to break a leg. And then Johnny Curtis was sad, although not as sad as he would be later.
There appears to be no Johnny Curtis on SmackDown this week.
Well,
thank God.
Tyson Kidd versus the new and improved Sin Cara. Sin Cara is a few inches taller, put on some muscle, and he pulled off his trampoline entrance better than ever. The announcers were pointing out, boy, he's bulked up, and he had some different cool new moves, and the stupid blue and yellow lights were back. There was a point here where Michael Cole yelled at Booker for not doing his homework. That's all I have to say. Sin Cara finally won. He hit a helo and then immediately rolled through it and hit a quebrada for the win. And in some ways, he actually looked noticeably better than the other Sin Cara, which is bad for the first Sin Cara. Alberto Del Rio versus Daniel Bryan. The highlight here was Cole ranting about Daniel Bryan's breakfast and how it involved agave nectar. Booker asked what that was. And Cole said it's a plant product that came from Africa or Arizona. So Booker stated, quite confidently, if it comes from Africa, then I'm going to tell you it works. I laughed. Then he did his fake African accent for a while. Eventually, Brian hit his tope, but he sold his shoulder on the landing. And then Alberto immediately hooked the arm breaker for the submission win. And it was a great match for the short time they had. Then Wade came out and hit Wasteland on Brian just to remind us that they had a match at SummerSlam. In fact, I think to announce. I think this was the official announcement that they had a match. Cody Rhodes versus Ezekiel Jackson for the Intercontinental title.
I just want everybody to know that as you were doing these results, I was reading the results from this week, and I was completely confused.
Do you care to share, or you just want to tease us all with that?
No, for some reason in my brain, I was trying to figure out why it's what Vinny's saying, not what I'm reading right here. What the fuck's going on?
I see. Yes,
I need to shut this window like
because you have traveled through time.
Apparently, I have, or you just watched a different show. Which apparently you did.
Yes, literally, I did. So Michael Cole's first words here were that Ezekiel Jackson had been on a roll. So I had to look this up. Coming into this match, Zeke had lost 4 of his last 6 matches. He was not on the July pay-per-view, and he was not on SummerSlam either. This is what qualifies as being on a roll.
Didn't he lose the championship last week?
Zeke?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that was on this show.
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you
go. Close that window now. I am not going to say another word. Is it closed?
Yes.
All right. So, they had a match. It largely sucked because Zeke was involved. The Ted distracted him.
I turned down my mic for that. Don't worry.
DiBiase distracted him. Cody hit a clothesline, but then Zeke no-sold it, which made me wonder what the point of the distraction was. So Cody hit his kick and the crossroads and won to save the Intercontinental title from the worst champion of all time. Then they put a bag on his head. This revived him, like, instantly. They put the bag on his head and he rose like a mummy. So Cody got the hell out of Dodge. Ted had his back turned and was jaw-jacking to the fans as Zeke stood behind him menacingly with a paper bag on his head. And I would not go as far as this, but someone made a point on the board where they said the entire paper bag gimmick was paid off just with that shot.
Well, let me just say this. I knew he won the title and everything like that, but I didn't watch the show. And until the moment that you just read that report, I, again, had completely forgotten, because he won the title on Friday, he didn't make a single appearance at SummerSlam, and he didn't make a single appearance on Raw.
Yeah.
Do I need to open that window and make sure he made a single appearance on SmackDown this week?
Nah, who cares? Hmm. It's not like the title matters at this point. So, yes, Zeke killed DiBiase, and he stared down Cody, and Cody was scared. So, even though Cody had just defeated the man clean in the middle of the ring with his finisher, this feud must continue. Had a commercial for the Greatest Stars of the 21st Century DVD they have coming out. The highlight of this was Brock Lesnar curling the SmackDown set. That shot was great. Clearly, you don't remember it at all.
Curling the set?
He had like a 15-foot piece of metal in his arms. He's doing bicep curls.
I don't recall this.
Well, when you see it, you'll remember. It was fantastic.
All right.
They had a backstage interview with Randy Orton where he said absolutely nothing of note. Mm. Mark Henry wrestled Johnny Curtis. After all those skits, after all that build, the big payoff was Johnny Curtis being pinned in a minute with the World's Strongest Slam.
Killed.
And again, a middle finger to the fans who watched those shows.
No, it wasn't.
Well, meh.
No, it wasn't. Nobody on the earth was eagerly awaiting the debut of Johnny Curtis.
But we still had to sit through the segments.
Not even his friends and family. You know what I mean?
It was really horrible.
I got a...
But again, it's a middle finger in the fact that we all had to sit there and watch them. So why do they make us do that? Why do they do that to us? It was cruel.
Because, Vinny, do you really think when they started these vignettes, they knew where they were going to go? Or what he was going to do when he debuted? That's probably why we had vignettes for like 8 weeks. Like, shit, should he debut this week? Ah, fuck, I don't know what to have him do. Let's have him do a stupid vignette. And then finally it was like, get Mark Henry over. Let's have him kill this guy. That is the extent of their thought, Vinny.
Hmm.
I guarantee they weren't thinking, you know, in 8 weeks, he's going to debut the Friday before SummerSlam, and Mark Henry's going to kill him. I would bet you, like, $1 billion they didn't think that 8 weeks ago.
Well, I hope you're right.
I know I'm right. I mean, I'm sure they had to know when they gave him this gimmick that, you know, he's going to fail with this gimmick.
Well, he did.
I don't even know what they were trying to do.
That's what's
baffling about
this. I have been asking this question for 2 months now.
Because, listen, it's like it's a mystery, like Evolution. You knew, watching these vignettes, the fact that they gave the guy like 8 straight weeks of vignettes, I mean, this is mind-boggling to me. Because you had to know, watching the vignettes, that the guy was never going to get over. So, what was the point of the vignettes?
I don't know.
And the fact that they did 8 vignettes, they don't do 8 vignettes for anyone.
No.
So, they give this geek 8 weeks of vignettes for a character that was destined to fail, and then they made it fail. I just cannot wrap my head around this one.
I'm tired of talking about it. Randy Orton wrestled the Great Khali. Khali, at one point, he hit his Khali chop early, and Randy kicked out, so Khali went to the nerve pinch, and he lifted his enormous hand high in the air, and he brought it down as fast as he and as hard as he could onto Randy Orton's shoulder, and a gunshot rang out through the arena as his hand met Orton's flesh, and Orton cried out in pain, and it looked like he damn near wanted to cry. That was the highlight of this match. He fought through it. He ended up bleeding from the mouth, just taking a complete shit-kicking, and eventually he pinned Khali with the RKO. Christian came out to interrupt. He said on Sunday, anything goes, and he would have the best thing going, which is his way of saying Edge will be there. And that was the end of SmackDown.
What an exciting show.
It was actually seemed more relevant than usual in that everything built to the show on Sunday.
Too bad no one watches that show.
And that's why no one watched SummerSlam.
Johnny Curtis. I just don't get it, Vinny. I just don't get it.
I'm not going to waste precious time worrying about it. Some stupid people did something stupid, and it ended stupidly. That's the summary of the entire thing.
But it just kept going.
Yes! And it never... By the way, it did get better when they brought in other people, like the production assistants who had to act sad when he took their, what did he take? He took their food. Oh, no, he took the cake, and a guy was sad. That one was funny.
The cake.
Yes.
He took the cake. Didn't this guy, like, win NXT?
Theoretically.
Did he? I'm going to go back and look. You can't tell me he was one of the season winners, and this is what they did.
I'm almost positive that was his original intent, was that the point of this was he was the NXT winner, and he hadn't debuted yet. But he was spilling milk and all this other stupid shit.
All right, let's see. Yep, in fact, he beat Brodus Clay in the final of whatever the last NXT was, the one that has not gone on for 9 straight months. So yeah, Johnny Curtis. Think about this, everybody. As strange as it is that they gave this guy like 8 weeks of vignettes for a character that you knew from vignette 1 was destined to fail. And then when they finally debuted him, they killed him immediately. Okay. This guy was the winner of NXT, the same show that Vince McMahon at the Investors Conference insists they really want back on television. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you think people stopped watching this fucking show? Because you have a show, and Tough Enough is another prime example of this. You have a show... And you ask people to get invested into it for week after week after week. And then you have guys win. And then you either never see them again, or you kill them dead, or whatever your goofy gimmick is. Yeah, people stop watching. And now you want to bring it back?
Well, I don't.
Mind-boggling. Brodus Clay should have won, too, by the way.
When you said that... This guy was deemed to be superior to Brodus Clay.
Let's take a look at the NXT winners. Wade Barrett. All right. So,
he's done fine.
Wade Barrett won. That's good. He's done fine. Second season, Caval. Oh, yeah.
Well,
did a great job with him. That's right when the show died, too, around...
not a coincidence.
Yeah. He won the second season. Season 3, Caitlin. Yeah. Stellar career after winning that...
long string of wins and great entertaining segments.
Yeah, she's in the exact same spot as AJ, who was eliminated in week 12, and Exana, who was eliminated in week 11, and Naomi, who was the best girl on the entire show, is just disappeared.
That sucks.
And we have this season here, Johnny Curtis. We've seen the way his career is gone. That's awesome. And then this season here, the show is still going on.
Yeah. I of course, do not watch the show because, well, I'm a human being with a soul, but...
It has been going on for 24 weeks.
Yes.
This season of NXT started on March 8th.
Has anyone been eliminated yet?
Oh, yeah.
Is the end in sight, at least?
Yeah, they've been eliminated. In fact, Vladimir Kozlov has been eliminated, and he was a coach.
That's true.
Yeah. Is JTG still employed?
He was actually on SmackDown a week
or two
ago.
Oh, that's right, he is. That's right, he turned heel. Yeah.
Well, turning heel would imply they shot an angle at a storyline or an interview. He just came out with the bad guys one day.
This tells you everything you need to know about why nobody watches these shows, everybody. I don't care
because
about
don't
entertainment
matter.
Value yeah. or anything like that. I'm sure Yoshitatsu and his action figure is mini LOLs, but this show doesn't matter, and that's why nobody watches it. All right, let's play a song, and then we're going to talk about Super China Buffet Day and Brent Kremen, ironically. So let's play this song.
Oh. No. Whoa, it's time to rock and roll. Whoa. This time I'm in control. Whoa. Right now I own the streets. I suppose. I mean, sometimes when I'm talking off the top of my head, I don't sound very intelligent. But
nothing gets past you. Brent, everybody. He wanted to go to Super China Buffet Day.
I got a... It was Friday or Saturday night. I got a text from my girlfriend who'd been talking to your wife, and a warning made its way through the grapevine that Brent Kremen may be there. And I swear to God, I almost backed out of the entire day. Really? I was going to order pizza at my place and just buy SummerSlam for myself.
How many people were at Super China Buffet Day? Like 20?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could have stayed away from him.
I did say that if he's there, I'm going to have to put the entire casino between me and him.
What is it with you and Brent?
He sucks. Really? He sucks.
He's listening right now.
Brent, you suck.
He's a nice guy.
In what way?
Yeah, think about what my bachelor party would have been without Brent.
Doesn't mean he's a nice guy.
He was entertaining.
I do not argue.
He stole the show.
He stole the show at your bachelor party and your wedding.
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Well, he upstaged your show at the wedding by making me hate him.
I see.
In fact, everyone at the table hated him. We've talked about this before. Everyone, go listen to the wedding show. Remind yourselves of what Brent Kremen did that made myself and my girlfriend and Sonny and his wife and Atina and her sister hate Brent.
Brent had Facebooked me, and then he called me, and he said, I don't think there's a bus that goes to the casino. Unless I can get a ride from somebody, I don't know if I can go. This was like noon. Super China Buffet Day's at 3. I said, well, let me see what I can do. I'll call you back. What are you doing over there?
I cracked my toe. Sorry, I didn't know you'd hear it.
I told you, these mics are powerful. So, I said I'd call him back. And my other buddy, Jesse, does not have a car, but he's competent. And he was wanting to know if there was anybody coming from up south. So, from down south. So, I gave Jesse your number, but I did not give Brent your number. You may thank me now publicly for that.
Well, thank you.
So,
he has it, but go ahead.
So, we were going to head out to the outlet malls before we went to the buffet day. And I thought, oh, what the fuck? I'll pick up Brent. This poor bastard. I see him once a year. This poor guy. You know, I like Brent. He's a nice guy. He's a little wacky. A nice guy. I can handle him once a year. So I called up Jesse and I said, so it looks like I'm going to be picking up Brent. I can pick up you too. Let's all meet at the Everett Park and Ride at 2:30. Because Brent had said, I can get a bus and be at the Everett Park and Ride at 2:24 p.m., he said. Great! Told Jesse, he said he'd be there at 2:24 as well. Thought everything was fine. So start driving out there. We get to the outlet malls, which are right by the casino. And for any of you that live in the Seattle area, don't ever go to these outlet malls. Yes, there's a lot of cool stuff there. Yes, there's a lot of like high-end outlet stores. But there were 1 billion people in the parking lot. I'm not kidding. 1 billion people. There were human beings everywhere. There were cars parked on top of cars. It was impossible to maneuver. It was the biggest disaster I ever saw in my life. I just dropped off Whitney and left. I couldn't even, it just was too much for me. So, of course, there's traffic. And it turns out the Everett Park and Ride is nowhere near Everett. It's like South Everett, which is essentially Bothell. So I drive all the way back, stuck in traffic. And I get to the park and ride at about 2:30. And there's Jesse. Right place, right time. No Brent. Sat around for about 15 minutes. No Brent. Actually, closer to about 10 minutes, let's be honest. So we left. And I called and left him a voicemail. You see, Brent has no car or no phone. Not even a cell phone. Right. Not even a prepaid cell phone. He has no way to communicate with him if he leaves his house. So I left a message on his house phone. And as we're leaving, I'm like, Jesse, are there any other park and rides here in Everett? Because, Christ, this poor guy, you know, he got on a bus. He came all the way out here. I don't know what happened. Maybe he missed the bus. Maybe he went to another park and ride. I feel bad just leaving him. You know, the buffet, turns out, doesn't open until 4. I got a little extra time. Are there any other park and rides? He goes, yeah, there's another one in the middle of Everett. So we drive to Everett. We get off on Broadway. We go to the bus and train station. There's no Brent. We drive around in circles. There's no Brent. We wait around. There's no Brent. I finally gave up. And as I'm calling and telling him that we tried, of course, I take the wrong turn. I get on fucking Highway 2. Drive, you know where Highway 2 goes?
Oh, I do.
Out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yes.
Luckily, I was
able... It goes into the mountains.
And I was trying to turn over a new leaf of kindness in my life. And I was trying to be so nice to Brent on the phone. I'm like, listen, buddy, we tried. You know, you weren't there. I don't know if you missed a bus. I hope you're okay. This is the first call. Second call, I'm like, Brent, we tried the other thing there. And you weren't there. And I'm sorry. You know, I hope you make it home all right. And that's when suddenly I realized that while talking to him, because I couldn't find him at 2 park and rides, I'm suddenly on Highway 2. And I fucking flipped out. And I was like, you motherfucker, I'm going to kill you. And I hung up. So...
this story warms my heart.
Sure. So later he Facebooked me and he was all apologetic. And apparently he missed the bus and he showed up there a little late. He was so sorry that we were late for Super China Buffet. And he was so sorry. I felt really bad for him. But I tried, everybody. I fucking tried to get Brent Kremen. I really went out of my way to try. You can confirm this with Jesse. I really tried. Jesse, right place, right time. Brent, wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong life.
It's wrong everything. So we went to the buffet, and a fun time was had by all.
Yeah, we ate a lot of food. I did not take nearly enough advantage of the fact that literally right behind me was a full bar.
Mm-hmm.
We could have all the cocktails we want with our buffet. But the only thing that led to was, because it was right behind me, there was really no room between my enormous frame and the wall. So the waitress, near the end of the meal, was trying to reach behind me to get to somebody's check or to... hand someone a drink or something. And so I was trying to get out of her way. And so I put my hands on the table and tried to scoot in. And this caused like the entire table to flip upside down.
Basically, yeah, did a flip.
And like drinks me. Went flying everywhere. And I just put my forehead in my palm. And I just sat there for like 15 seconds. Just
you spilled all over Thunderlips.
I did.
He does not even live here. He lives across the country.
Thunderlips, after I spilled his drink on him, not even my drink, I spilled his drink on him, he had to go in those wet clothes and go where? To the airport.
Yeah, soaking.
Straight to the airport. Thunderlips, I apologize.
Big jacked up dude. He should have kicked your ass.
That would have sucked. He'd have killed me.
He would have
killed me hard.
He would have just beat you.
Oh, that would have sucked. But yeah,
it would have been a beating buffet.
And by the way, at this point, this was after my girlfriend had abandoned me for your parents. We walked in and she sat down next to them and there was no room at that table and I had to go find another seat.
Yeah.
That was my Super China Buffet day. Fortunately, I had a lot of good food.
That was a great buffet.
That was an awesome buffet.
Granny actually got us in because Craig's plan was if we showed up at 3... The dinner starts at 3:30, so we'd get to eat lunch, and then they'd bring out dinner, and we'd pay the lunch price. Fail.
Hey, they were on it, Craig, in his gluttonous ways.
They shut down the buffet from 3 to 4.
Yes.
We all arrived at 3. So Granny did hold a table, and they all let us in, and it was like, oh, great, we get to get in. Thank God. The plan is going to go. But then we got in, and they were like, you can't eat till 4.
Yeah.
So we sat there. But... a lot of great folks there, probably like I said, about 20 people, had a good time. Great buffet. If you ever get a chance to go to the Tulalip Buffet, you can't go wrong. A lot of good food, a lot of good healthy food, in fact, as well. You can get the unhealthy foods, such as fried chicken and hot dogs, which adorn Vinny's plate.
I didn't make a hot dog.
They also have salads, and they have you know baked chicken and that sort of thing. They had a Mongolian grill. God damn, it was good.
The highlight for me was the fresh pasta.
Yeah, they'll cook your pasta to order.
Yes, I had tortellini with pesto sauce and chicken. That was awesome.
Actually, it was my second buffet of the weekend because when I was down in San Diego for the day, I went to a buffet with Whitney and Dr. Lucha. He took us to the buffet at the casino there, Pechanga's Casino.
That sounds lewd.
It's like a four-star hotel, and it was a four-star buffet. I actually like the Tulalip buffet better, but Whitney said that was just, I was an idiot. The Pechanga buffet was much better, but many, many buys over this weekend. So, anyway, that was Super China Buffet Day. I don't think we got any pictures. I think some people got some pictures.
Thunderlips got some pictures, thankfully, before I soaked him, so he was not angry. And, but yes, it was a low-key affair. There was not a lot of hijinks.
There was no hijinks, really, except for you.
Except me causing a ruckus and a mess, as usual. But, everyone seemed to have a good time. I'd like to thank, a few new folks came out, folks I had not seen before, but everyone who was there had fun. We all had a good meal together, and then we kind of all went our separate ways for the most part.
No, we didn't. We all went back to my house to watch SummerSlam.
Actually, that's true. Most of them came back here. Well, Thunderlips went to Oakland.
Well, that's true. But most people came over to watch SummerSlam. And again, a fun time was had by all. So we're going to get into SummerSlam here in a moment. Post your stories in the thread, everybody. I haven't got a chance to go in there yet since I've been kind of busy. But I want to go and read about Super China buffets around the country. We didn't do a very good job promoting it this year.
Oh, we sucked. We were horrendous.
A lot of things went wrong. But next year, we got to go full bore into it. I think it's just because, I don't know, a lot of things were going on this year. But next year, we'll make Super China Buffet into a bigger deal. And again, if you want to come to the Seattle Super China Buffet next year, book your flights now. Come over and watch SummerSlam. It was a fun time. And we watched UFC afterwards, the cool kids. Actually, it was just me and George. All right, let's play a song here, and then we'll talk about SummerSlam. Gracie. No one should terrify their neighborhood. Gracie. Just won't be undone. Playing pranks on everyone. What was that?
Something just fell.
I hope that wasn't a cat falling off the railing. The game will
reign supreme. Cat invasion. They're coming to the studio.
What an awesome song.
I actually used to watch that show.
I have the best cats in the world. I don't care what anybody says. At least Snorky. Gracie is just, she sleeps all day now, and she's small. But Snork has more personality than any cat I've ever seen. That's no joke.
Was this the cat that when I walked in, you were playing tag with her?
Yeah.
Tag.
I played tag with my cat.
You. The cat would chase you to one side of the house, and you would turn around and chase the cat back the other way.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I've never seen this before. This is ridiculous.
We play tag. We play fetch. The cat does jujitsu. Whole nine yards. The cat attacks moths outside.
Wait, outside?
Well, I mean, it tries to attack moths through the...
I see. Through the sliding glass door.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. This cat... I've never seen a cat like this before. I can lay this... And you can confirm this, Vinny, because you've seen it. I can lay this cat down on its side on the hardwood. So picture a cat laying down on its side. Hopefully this is not like animal cruelty, because the cat loves it.
This is not cruel.
I put the cat down on its side, and I take my hand, and I put it kind of in the cat's armpit, and then I begin to spin the cat in a circle, and this cat will spin like at 1,000 miles an hour. Around, bzzz. You know, I can spin this and it won't meow, it won't try to move, it won't try to escape. It will just spin. And finally, when it's had enough, it'll open its claws and you hear it going shh on the floor and you let go. And the cat stands up and is just, the world is, it's a special place for this cat. Yes. For about 10 seconds. It wanders around and goes sideways and is completely dizzy. And then it comes over and is ready to do it again. You try and lay Gracie down and spin that cat like that, that cat ain't having it.
I would say you try to spin any other cat on earth.
Yeah.
This is a very uncat behavior.
This cat loves this. So yeah, those of you that were over at my house on Sunday night for SummerSlam, you can confirm how awesome this cat is. This is an awesome cat. All right, let's talk about SummerSlam. What were your thoughts?
Justin Roberts looked awesome in his white and lavender suit.
I was going to say something, but I have nothing against Justin Roberts. He's just no Ricardo Rodriguez.
No, I'm not arguing that. He just looked awesome in his white and lavender suit. That's just the first thing I noticed when I opened my notes, and that's still true. We were watching the pregame little deal, waiting for people to arrive, and they showed a Miz video package, and then the two generic announcer guys basically said, and almost in this exact words, is Miz going to wrestle at SummerSlam? Buy the show to find out. So the show did seven buys, whatever it is, that's why. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. We got a surprise bonus six-man. What do you used to call them, the WCW pay-per-views? It was just a bonus match?
Sure.
Something like that. Alberto, Truth, and Miz versus...
They call it an eight-man when they were six?
Did they?
I don't know.
Hmm. Oh, because it's WCW and they were stupid?
Yeah.
All right.
Comedy, everyone.
Yeah. Remember, you're paying for this show.
No, you're not. It's free.
Oh, excellent news. Alberto, Truth, and Miz versus Rey and Kofi Morrison. Actually, I missed a good portion of this on the telephone. People always call me when I'm in the middle of something, I've noticed. But from what I saw, it looked awesome. There was a point where all three babyfaces hit a giant dive in succession, and then Rey, who was main eventing for the world title the next night, pinned Truth with a big splash. This looked like a lot of fun.
You couldn't tell them I'm in the middle of a six-man bonus match on a pay-per-view?
I couldn't what?
Tell them that. The call.
I guess not. It was not so much there's a six-man bonus match on pay-per-view, it's as much as this pay-per-view is 3 hours long, and I won't be able to call you until then. This is as good a time as any. Mm-hmm. We had the return of Stephanie McMahon to TV. I never needed this again, although actually she was fine. She said that Punk had called her clueless, and Punk said, no, I never called you clueless, just idiotic. Steph tried to make peace, offered a handshake, and Punk said, no, I know where that hand has been.
Hand jobbing.
On Hunter's cock. That's what he was saying.
Have you seen that thread?
What? No.
Replace a wrestler's name with hand job?
No, I have not seen that thread.
That is an awesome thread. Everyone's taking everybody's name and putting hand job in there.
I have not been that speechless.
Like hand job Hernandez.
I have not been that speechless in some time.
Yeah. I even came up with one.
Hand job in, have you seen that thread?
Yeah. Big hand jobber. That was mine. You know?
That's funny, Brian.
Like Big Van Vader. Big hand jobber.
I see.
Yeah. It's a great thread.
I'll have to take part in it sometime.
Let me pull it up here while you're doing the SummerSlam report.
Michael Cole, who buries the internet all the time, that's his whole gimmick, he told us he was live chatting. Mark Henry versus Sheamus. They clobber on each other for a while. They hit each other hard. Your cat jumped up on top of the cable box and began to groom herself. It was, in fact, more exciting than the match.
I just loved that, like, Craig was so mad at this cat.
Yeah.
The cat, this is like, how big is my TV? It's rather large.
I believe it's a 46-inch.
Oh, no, it's like 57-inch. I got a new one. It's a real big-ass TV. And the cat is like 6 inches across. And it's sitting in the corner of the screen, like over... It's so far over that it's farther over than the WWE logo.
Yes.
And somehow, whatever was in the bottom left-hand 1/100th of the screen, this was too much for Craig.
If you had switched to the standard def feed... She would not have been blocking anything.
Nothing. That's what I need to do next time. Craig, this drove Craig so crazy that eventually this 320-pound man walked over and picked up the cat and deposited her elsewhere.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Especially when you consider his dog.
Exactly.
Running around yapping all the time.
Exactly.
So. And in fact, the cat grooming herself in front of the box was more entertaining than the match.
I thought so.
It was two big guys clobbering on each other until... Finally, Sheamus hit the brogue kick, but But Henry rolled out of the ring and became the world's strongest dead weight. They went outside on the floor, and Henry put Sheamus through the retaining wall. When who should be there marking out like crazy but Joey Ryan? He was... Joey Ryan, to his credit, was not too cool to get involved in this. He was reacting in shock and horror and amazement at the carnage before him. And then when Henry returned to the ring and the ref was counting Sheamus out, Joey Ryan was the world's biggest Sheamus fan, cheering and on and encouraging and pulling for him. But he could not cheer loudly enough, and Sheamus was counted out. So Mark Henry wins. Based on this and the Orton match, I assume they're finally going to do Orton versus Henry, and Christian and Orton will finally end.
This started out with Fuzz Hardman. That should tell you something right there. Starting with, I'll start, the hand job kid Shawn Michaels, Brett the hand job Hart, and the rated R hand job star Edge. At which point, it erupted. That was a bad term.
No, it was not.
It's unfortunate. You know, the one man hand job Heath Slater. And on we go.
Remember, everyone, if you pay, you can get on this board.
That's right.
You can read all these jokes.
Yes.
Involve the word hand job.
Yeah. Harlem hand job. All right, go on.
Christian did an interview, compared himself to Harry Potter, said Orton was like Cowboys and Aliens, overproduced, overrated, overhyped. CeeLo came out and sang for about an hour. They found, after a long time, they found one girl who was singing along with him. The guy next to her was just texting, didn't care. They sent out divas to dance with CeeLo, neither of whom were Layla or Eve, who were both professional dancers. They sent out the Bellas, and I think Rosa. This is lame. And then he finished singing, everyone gave him the courtesy cheer, and then he looked right in the camera, and speaking of lewd sexual terms, he put his fingers to his mouth in the universal symbol for eat pussy.
That's what he did, everybody.
Very non-PG.
Really
very
was.
Non-PG. Kelly and Beth had a match. This went way, 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 way too long. There's a reason Kelly only wrestles for 2 minutes at a time, and when she goes, for example, I guess six, like this went, it's terrible. So Beth went for the bitch clamp. Kelly rolled her up and won.
Yeah.
And I guess now they're going to feud more, even though Beth lost clean.
Sure.
Heels were just stunned. To this point, this show was not rocking my world. Truth was hanging out with Jimmy Hart, who does not age, I've decided. This man's in his 60s. He appears to be in his early 30s.
Early 30s?
You think he looks old?
You think he looks younger than I do?
Well, no.
He looks
to be... He does not look 60.
He looks to be in his... I'd say he looks 10 years younger.
Hmm. He looks exactly the same as I remember him in 1985. Maybe I should watch the 1985
his sunglasses keep getting bigger. I'm sure if he took them off, he'd look 200.
Perhaps that's part of it. And I'm sure he's dyeing his hair.
Yeah.
But every time...
And he had hair implants.
Hmm?
He had his hair done.
They're good ones then.
Yeah.
So it's working, I guess.
Sure.
There's such a thing as good plastic surgery. Maybe that's it. Maybe the secret was not such a big deal. So the whole point of this was... Jimmy was telling the truth, he needed a manager. And I was thinking, yes, bring back Jimmy Hart as a manager. That would be great. And then the whole thing was, Truth realized that this man was named Jimmy and he was little, and that made him Little Jimmy. That made him mad. And then there was controversy. Ron Artest appeared on TV.
Oh, God.
Now, listen. I understand that some people are upset that you didn't know who he was, and did Dave not know who he was either?
Dave claimed that he knew immediately who he was on site.
Okay.
Although he did call him Ron Artiste. Which is funny because I pronounced it right and Dave said, no, 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 it's Artiste. And this has been the subject of, you know, 200-page long threads.
I know who this guy is. He will always be the basketball player who went crazy and attacked the fans. But he's also a guy who played for the Lakers and won a championship. I know who he is. I didn't recognize him. Just a generic guy. The only reason I knew who he was because his shirt said Ron Artest. So there you go. We had Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan. Fans were not into this. The announcers could not keep track of anyone's names. They teased at one point Wasteland off the apron of the floor, which would be a terrible idea that would result in a fatality for sure. And it's just as well they didn't do this because they were quite happy to kill each other with stiff elbows and knees all the time anyway. And finally, Wade went for Wasteland. Bryan turned it into a guillotine and then turned that into the LaBella lock, and I thought, well, there's your finish. And then Wade got the ropes and won with Wasteland anyway. Clearly, they have changed their mind on Daniel Bryan main eventing WrestleMania. That is not going to happen.
I don't know.
I come on. There's no, this is not how you take a guy who's in the main event, the biggest show of the year, in 8 months or whatever, and he just loses to a mid-card guy.
Why can't they say, at Night of Champions, Daniel Bryan is going to put his briefcase on the line against Wade Barrett, and then he taps him out clean with the LaBella lock. People will forget this completely at that point.
Hmm.
And I think he's going to be fine. WrestleMania is like 6 months away.
It's more than that, but yeah.
He'll be fine.
He needs help, and they're not giving it to him.
The issue, Vinny, is not that he's losing. The issue is that Michael fucking Cole on every goddamn show is telling you how boring and how... Yes, why would anyone want to see this man wrestle?
You're right. You are right. And if he was not doing that, if he was doing a competent job as an announcer, maybe this loss would not have bothered me. But between the commentary and then when he lost here, I thought, well, that's it for him then. I was convinced he was doomed.
It wasn't even the commentary that pissed me off. It was the fact that nobody was responding to this match because of commentary on past shows. Seriously, why would anyone not care about a Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett match that was actually being really good? Because your average person on the street, and I actually got, believe me, I know this sounds preposterous, but people were emailing me on Sunday night after I did my big rant about this, and they said, you know what's funny, Brian? I have friends that are into wrestling, and they can't stand it when Daniel Bryan is on TV because he's boring.
Yeah.
Because they have been convinced by Michael Cole that, in fact, he is boring.
Yes.
Everybody, I know that when you hear this, you think this is ridiculous, but think about your average wrestling fan. You have gone to shows. Yeah. You have seen the average wrestling fan.
Yes.
Michael Cole tells the average wrestling fan that Daniel Bryan is boring and a nerd. Listen, people backstage in WWE think that Daniel Bryan is a nerd because of Michael Cole's commentary. It just drives me nuts.
Christian and Randy Orton in what appeared to be their final match. It was the no-holds-barred match. Christian's secret weapon that he teased on SmackDown turned out to be Edge. Edge came out, did his entrance for the first time in several months, and it left him completely blown up. He was desperate for wind. It was hysterical. So Edge announced that he was happy when he left because it opened the door for Christian, and he didn't think it was fair that Teddy made Christian defend his title in that first show after he won the belt. And then Christian just bitched and bitched and bitched and bitched. Then he won the title in a lame manner, and Edge said that he had done a lot of horrible things, but he'd always done them with style. And somewhere along the line, Christian became a disgrace to himself, and so Edge left. So Christian was left to himself.
You know, when you mentioned Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett killing each other, I was just thinking about this, because I did go down to a Hicks and Gracie seminar this weekend. I'm sure you're wondering what the hell this has to do with anything. But,
I think you're just bragging, but go ahead.
Well, no, there's a point to this. Hickson is 53 years old. He's in significantly better shape than myself. Everybody in this room, probably most of the people listening to this right now.
In this room, you say. And it's you, me, and the stuffed monkey.
Exactly. And, you know, he... you know, sometimes you go to a seminar and there's like a high-level guy, and he's demonstrating all this stuff on the host of the seminar, who invariably is also like a black belt. You know, he goes to a guy that, this guy's not going to do anything wacky, he trusts the guy, you know, the whole nine yards. If you were going to demonstrate something in pro wrestling on somebody, you know, you'd ask Buddy Wayne to come over. You wouldn't ask, you know, some guy who's in training school. Not Hickson. He don't give a fuck. He calls over anybody and works out with them. And you know, there was a day, this was a few years back, but he'd do a seminar, and then everybody at the seminar would get a chance to roll with them, and he would tap every single one of them out in, like, seconds. This guy's really good. Anyway, point is, I also have gone to a Pedro Sauer seminar. He's also 53 years old, and when my instructor got his black belt, Pedro made him look like a fool. Maybe not a fool, that's probably unfair, but, you know, 53-year-old man who hurt his shoulder in a snowboarding accident, going in there with a 34-year-old black belt and just schooling him without breaking a sweat. Anyway, point of all of this is that when you are an athlete, And you want to do something for like a long time, you know, you want to have a career. Let's say you want to be like Hicks and Gracie or, you know, a guy that, you know, you enjoy doing jiu-jitsu or whatever your sport is. And you want to be that guy who, you know, he's 60 years old and he's still rolling, or he's 60 years old and he's still out there surfing, or he's 60 year old and he's still out there biking. Okay? You know what the secret to that is?
Not killing yourself?
Secret to that is you avoid injury. So, Edge is like the prime example. You know, Edge retired. I really liked watching Edge wrestle. And so did a lot of fans. And you could tell when Edge retired that he really liked wrestling. And you know, he talked about wanting to go another year, and he retired like a year earlier than he was planning. But, you know, if Edge was healthy, he'd probably wrestle till he was 45 years old. I mean, how hard is it to get these guys out of wrestling? These guys would wrestle until they died, most of them. And many of them have, quite frankly. But, you know, a guy whose career ends in his mid-30s, that's really sad. And why did Edge's career end when it did? Because he got injured all the time. He was always getting hurt. And I don't know. I see guys like Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett, and, you know, God bless these guys. They love wrestling so much. And you know, Bryan is, I shouldn't even really bring up these two guys because they're hardly even close to the worst offenders. They just had a solid match. You know, they kind of laid stuff in. But I'm mostly talking about guys on the indie scene, and even guys like AJ Styles and you know,
John Morrison lately.
Yeah, John Morrison is actually a perfect example, you know. John Morrison loves his business so much that he comes back early. Okay, he doesn't want to retire in his 30s, but at the rate he's going, he's gonna. You got to think about this when you wrestle. You know, your job is to go in there and make it look real and do the best you can and have the best match you can and not get injured. That is the whole key to this. That is the whole key to longevity in wrestling, in any other sport or athletic endeavor or thing that you do that you enjoy. You've got to avoid injury. And to go in there in a sport that everybody knows is not real and do things that almost guarantee that you're going to get hurt, and in many cases you do get hurt, it just ain't worth it. I'm just telling you right now, it is not worth it.
So on that note, Christian wrestled Randy Orton in a match where, indeed, they beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
It was a great match and in that, well, in many ways, but it's one of those matches where it started and they were just doing some stuff, and they brawled in the floor, and they went in the crowd, and the crowd was not much into it, and then the longer they went, the more and more the crowd went into it, and then they hit the big spot at the end, and it was the finish, and the place went crazy. So in that sense, it was actually a perfect match. They use everything. They use the kendo stick, they brought the chair, stairs in the ring, they went out on the announce table. Orton hit an RKO on the announce table, and it actually broke this time. That's amazing. So, finally, Christian brought some chairs in the ring. He set up for a concerto, but before he hit it, he took the opportunity to spit in Orton's face a few times. This fired Orton up, and he immediately went on his comeback, and he hit his... what did he hit? He hit a DDT in a garbage can. Christian cut him off for an instant, but then ate an RKO onto the stairs for the win. Randy was bleeding at random places, like the side of his head and his thumb. It was a hell of a match. It was Orton's 9th world title reign. Best match in the show, and it is weird. I feel like, you know, we're complaining about how long this feud has gone and about how nothing else has happened. How long... they've fought, I think, 5 times on pay-per-view, we counted. I think 4 of those times was the best match in the show.
Yeah.
And the other time was when Cena and Punk had probably the match of the year. So
I'm mostly just frustrated with it because it's like, you know, Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels had a feud that went a long-ass time. But it was a very well-laid-out feud. You know, those guys had a lot of input into it. It made sense. You had some matches, then you had some sort of twist that led to more matches, and a twist that led to more matches, and, you know, well done. And you know, there have been great feuds that have gone on for a long-ass time with a lot of different guys. This feud was like, you know, I said it the very first fucking day that Christian won the title and then lost it 5 days later. I said this. I said, why would you take the title off Christian 5 days after he won it? And people said, well, just wait to see how the story goes. And the story went pretty much exactly how I thought the story was going to go. But again, what would have been the issue with Christian winning the title? Everybody went nuts when he won that title.
Yeah.
Give him a 2-month title reign before Randy Orton beats him. Then you don't do the rematch the next week on TV. You do the rematch the next month. Then maybe you do one more on pay-per-view. That is where Christian snaps. He destroys Orton. He wins the title from him. And then you can do another couple of matches where Randy Orton is now fighting to win the title or whatever the deal is. I've already screwed up my own booking. But the point is, you could have stretched this out over even more time than they stretched it out. But instead, they had to do the deal where Christian immediately loses to Orton, then he loses again, and again and again and again. Same thing. And then finally he fucks his way into getting the belt, and then he immediately just loses it again. What a shitty story. Yeah, they had great matches. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of great. And I'm very sad that next month it's going to be Randy Orton and Mark fucking Henry instead of Christian. Okay, that sucks. But they could have done this feud in such a, I mean, with a little bit of thought, you know, and it didn't even take a little bit of thought. I mean,
any thought.
I mean, when I wrote about this originally, all it takes is looking at the roster and going, okay, when this feud's over, what next? Yeah, that's what they fucking all of a sudden thought after they fucked the whole thing up. Uh-huh. If they would have thought about it first, they would have realized, huh, we need to get like 8 months out of this feud. Yes. Because we ain't got no one else on this fucking show that we can do anything with. So that's the issue. Not the fact, oh no, not another great match. I love watching great matches, and this match was fucking awesome. But it just was... I just hated the whole story of it. It just... I don't know. You could have... I mean, when this feud is over, what's Christian got? Nothing.
He's right back where he started.
Yeah, he never got the better of Randy Orton except one time when he fucked his way into it and then he immediately lost it again. Wow,
way
to go. Well,
one time he did pin him in a tag match.
Yeah, you could have at least, like, given him a babyface title run for, like, 3 months and tried to establish him. Uh-huh. And then do the storyline and then have him turn heel and go on your merry way. But nope, they had to rush everything. It's one thing to rush everything when you have tons of other shit that you can do. And it's another thing to rush everything when you realize, oh, Jesus, we don't have anything else to do. Which is where they're at right now.
So we had John Cena versus CM Punk in the main event. It was not as good as last month. It was not as good as Christian and Orton. It was a perfectly fine pay-per-view main event. They did all sorts of counters of various moves, a long sequence where they countered the STF and the Anaconda Vice and back and forth. And they actually did a great job of, you know, John Cena has a very simple comeback. He's going to hit two shoulders. He's going to duck a punch. He's going to hit the protoplex, and he's going to do the five-knuckle shuffle. He does this in every match. And they did this a great job of every time he started his comeback. The first time he tried it, Punk cut him off on the shoulder block. Next time he tried it, he got a little farther and he went for the protoplex and Punk countered that. And it kept going and going and Cena finally hit the protoplex and he actually stood over Punk, but Punk kicked him. And then finally, after about four tries, he hit that damn five-knuckle shuffle and everyone went crazy. That was the story for this. And then the finish... Actually, there was one other point. Hunter was the ref. He was an even ref, but they actually did have a point to have a special ref there, which is Punk hit his toe pin on the dasher board. Both men were down, and Hunter counted to 9, and a normal ref would have counted to 10 and called for the DQ, but this is Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He took charge of things like a man, and he just got out of the ring and threw them both back in, and they kept wrestling. That was actually a great spot. So the finish, after both guys kicked out of each other's finishers a few times, Punk hit the worst GTS of his career. He missed Cena's face by at least a foot, probably more. He made a cover. Cena got his foot on the ropes. Hunter had to pretend he didn't see it, and he counted 3. And so the finish was flat. It was flat in the booking and flat in poor execution. So Punk won. He was the undisputed champion. Cena had some words with Hunter, but pretty much just got cleared out. So Hunter offered a handshake. Punk did not trust him, would not accept, but Hunter raised his hand and Punk kind of acknowledged him. Then who should appear but Big Daddy Cool? I did not see this coming.
Join the club.
This caught me off guard. He laid out Punk. He hit a giant powerbomb. Hunter acted as if he had no idea this was going to happen. He went down to confront Nash, but Nash went over the dashboard through the crowd and disappeared. And out came Alberto. He cashed in his briefcase. He won, and that ended the show. It was a good show.
I enjoyed it. A lot of people were upset about Nash, and I wasn't until I found out he's going to wrestle.
Yeah, I was not upset with what he did on the show. I'm upset with what's going to happen on the next show.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Apropos song here, seeing as to how we talked about our buddy CeeLo. Michael Cole tells you that the baby faces are stupid. Not lying. Fuck you! Daniel Bryan has no charisma when he's the fucking guy who's supposed to be headlining for the title at WrestleMania. Fuck you!
It's Lord Alfred Hayes, but the match over.
Michael Cole does damage, like serious damage, on every single fucking show he calls. Fuck you! That's pretty good.
That's pretty great. We should open the show with that every time.
That was pretty good. All right, Vinny, you got 5 minutes to give your Raw report here, and then we got shit tons of shout-outs.
Can I talk about Impact instead?
Impact?
There was a great segment on Impact.
Oh, Jesus. We didn't even review Impact, did we?
Did you watch it?
No.
If you still have it, you must go down and watch one segment. Jeff and Karen Jarrett came out.
I heard about this. This actually does sound awesome.
Jeff was wearing blue jeans, no shirt, a poncho, and a sombrero. Karen was in a tight red dress with a rose in her hair and matching red lipstick. Looked fabulous. The only thing this was missing, they should have had a mariachi band playing Jeff's theme song. That would have been money. So Jeff came out. They showed clips of him winning the AAA title with an illegal cane shot. And you could see in this video that the ref's back was turned. AAA makes more sense than TNA.
So they actually showed clips from the building?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd do that.
So Jeff announced that to the crowd that he had won this title in Mexico. He had been crowned the King of Mexico, and yet people were not taking him seriously. He said he had taken over the biggest company in Mexico, conquered an entire country, and brought back their world title. That was not enough. He said he needed to get himself over to the Mexican people. He said he needed to learn the nuances and the subtleties of the Mexicans. That's what he said. He needed to be endorsed by the Mexican people so everyone would realize how serious he was about this. He talked about all the great Mexican cities he had been in, such as San Antonio, and there's a few others in the U.S. And he had finally found two Mexican brothers to come out and endorse him. And so he introduced the I believe he said they were the Lopez brothers, but two Mexicans, Jose and Jose B. Fantastic. He announced these men were landscapers at Universal Studios. Two Mexican men came out. They had a fancy entrance with smoke, lights, Mexican flag, cool music. They came out, and they just looked bewildered by the entire scene. They didn't know what to make of any of this. Jeff said they had drank too many cervezas. They got in the ring. They were kind of wandering and milling about, still kind of, not sure what was going on. And Jeff said, you're like a lot of the other wrestlers in TNA. You don't know how to find the camera. I laughed at that, too. So he asked them to, in their own words, just please here and before everyone, publicly endorse him as the King of Mexico. And Karen was his queen, whatever you want to say. And the two Mexican men just said, K, repeatedly, over and over again. And Jeff said, no, J, double J, but please endorse me as king. So they couldn't do this. Nothing happened. And then out of the corner of their eye, they spotted Hector Guerrero, a member of the famed Guerrero family, legendary in Mexico. And they went apeshit. They went ballistic. They couldn't believe their hero was here. This surprised everyone, including Hector. Hector was stunned that anyone recognized him. So Jeff tried one more time to please get an endorsement, but Jose and Jose B announced that in Spanish, the Guerrero family were the kings of Lucha Libre. They cut great promos in Spanish about how great the Guerreros were. Finally, Jeff could take no more. He kicked both their asses. Hector grabbed a chair and hit the ring to make the save. The Jarretts ran away. Seriously, one of the best segments of the entire year.
This I must see.
This was awesome. You had the heel coming out and being all goofy. It's fine that the heel had the motivation that he wanted to be declared the King of Mexico, because that's silly. You're not supposed to respect the heel. But then at the end, he beat up two men. He is still dangerous. So I assume this is all going to eventually lead to Chavo Guerrero coming in, which is not the best news in the world. But this segment
You know what? I think Chavo Guerrero and Jeff Jarrett will have good matches.
You know what? If they have horrible matches, I'm fine, because it started with this segment. And their horrible matches will remind me of this segment. And it was great. This was an A-plus stuff.
Everyone just remembers Chavo's last matches were like, he was trying to be a luchador, which he's not.
No.
But, Jeff Jarrett, old Southern-style worker, and Chavo, he's done WWE-style his whole life. They will have good matches.
They're both very, very, I was going to say competent. They're better than that. They are good.
They will have good matches.
They are good workers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Everyone, watch Impact. Just that part.
Anything else good on the show?
Oh, there was some good wrestling. There was a women's match that was not very good that I saw a lot of people absolutely hating, which I didn't think was that bad. It just is a women's tag match. And by the way, remember we were talking about maybe her name is Brooke Tessmacher?
Mm-hmm.
That's her name now.
Huh.
She is Tara and Brooke Tessmacher. And there was a point where she got the hot tag and she hit the ring, and whatever she was going to do, she clearly just completely forgot it. And she just stood there and the two heels both attacked her. And there's a lot of stuff, you know.
It's a taped show.
It's a taped show, and they didn't edit that out. And, you know, the Jersey Shore crew, they broke up.
Oh, no.
Well, it's not even, it's that there was no build to this. There was never a point in earlier shows they were arguing. They came out, they had an argument, then backstage they broke up, and that was it.
I can't even remember the last time they were even on the show.
Yeah. So, and there
was actually looking at the TNA roster, and I saw Cookie's name, and I was like, she's still employed? Totally forgotten they existed.
Maybe not anymore.
Hmm.
There was a point where she tried to interfere in the match. Taz pointed out she was interfering right in front of the referee.
I love Taz.
Yeah. And, you know, usual goofy stuff. Like, 8 different people appear to be in charge depending on which segment's going on. And
did any of them have the title? Because I was always told the title
Angle
brings...
Angle did, in fact, hit the ring with the title and say that now he was in charge. He called the shots, he said. And I guess if we're discussing this, he cut his promo in the middle of the show, and he explained that what was going on was that the reason he was angry at Dixie Carter, who you will know does not own the company and has not been on TV in months. But he explained that he went to Dixie and he said, I think Jeff's fucking my wife. And Dixie didn't do anything. So, it's kind of complicated. I've lost track of my notes here. The point is, Hulk Hogan knew. Hulk confided in Kurt, I think Jeff's fucking your wife. And so that's why Kurt was mad at Dixie, because she didn't do anything about it. So he vowed to, now that he won the title, he was going to take the young guys that Dixie was going to surround him with and build the company. He was going to take them out so he'd be the only one left.
What a stupid storyline.
Well, not only, yes, it's all very stupid and convoluted and illogical. But the point was, it was revealed that Hogan was Kurt's confidant and his informer. Then why did Kurt hit Hulk at the pay-per-view?
He hit Sting.
Yeah, he hit Sting with a chair, but Hogan had the chair, and Kurt attacked Hulk and grabbed the chair.
Oh, he just grabbed the chair from him. Did but he? My question is, why was Hulk glaring at Kurt when the show went off the air?
And we still don't know.
The answer is because they wanted you to watch this show.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense in hindsight.
It was retarded. But
I'll just forget the rest of the show and go
just watch
the
Jarrett segment.
Jarrett segment, sure. All right, quick raw notes here. We've got a long-ass time on this here free show.
The only thing I remember about the show was the weird-ass CM Punk Kevin Nash segment, which was very weird, although I enjoyed it. And I don't think it was too insider. Just the line about, you know, CM Punk said, this man called Eddie Guerrero a vanilla midget. I think that sentence is self-explanatory. I think if people had never read The Observer or The Figure Four or The Torch, had never known what he was talking about, they might think, well, this man thought Eddie Guerrero was boring. Maybe CM Punk is right. Maybe he does not know how to judge talent. But I think the one thing about this segment I will say is that Kevin Nash, for maybe the first time ever, he did not try to be a cool heel. He got angry at Punk. He was flustered. He was shouting at him. And meanwhile, CM Punk was the one blowing him off and taking it all in stride and acting cool. So Kevin Nash did, in fact, do what was good for business.
Okay, hold on. Wait, I was thinking about your insider thing here. So, now, to be fair here, we make fun of TNA for this many times. Listen, whenever TNA talks about how we need to get ratings, I want to shoot bullet holes in my TV. Why would your average fucking fan, your average viewer of Spike TV, give two shits what kind of ratings Impact gets? They don't. So, your average fan, what the hell does that mean that Kevin Nash has no eye for talent? What does that mean? What is it? Who cares if he called Eddie Guerrero vanilla midget? What does that mean? In all this stuff, it's like, for your average fan, what does that even mean? You know? That Punk says Hunter and Nash, he'd always heard they didn't know a thing about business and last night proved it. What does that mean? You know? What does any of this mean to your average fan? That's the problem. They just kept going on and on about these things, and it's like talking about ratings. Who gives a fuck? You know, the only time, I thought it was fascinating, you know, and as someone who obviously knew a lot about the death of WCW, available on Amazon.com, But it was intriguing and fascinating to me. But to me, it didn't really become like a great segment until finally the end when Punk said, okay, enough of this bullshit. Let's fight now. That's what we're getting at here. The rest was just 10 minutes of jacking off. Essentially what it was. Hand jobbing.
To bring things full circle. Well done. Well done. Well done. I thought more than any one throwaway line of what they said. It was the whole point was Kevin Nash is this old guy. They pointed out he used to wrestle. He's been friends with Hunter for 20 years. They said many times. And here's CM Punk, who does in fact represent the youth in the crowd. And when he's made fun of Kevin for being old, for taking talented wrestlers off TV and putting big stiffs like Kevin on TV. Which is, in fact, still going on. So I think an average fan can relate to that.
Okay, there's one other issue here that I don't know if... I mean, it may not be an issue, but it could conceivably be an issue in a month. Punk coming out here and doing the anti-Ric Flair promo, talking about how you're old, and Nash talking about how you're small, and I can't believe you're champion, and this and that. Which, again, in real life, what does that have to do with anything? If he's a champion, that means he's the best. Who cares what size he is? But anyway, the point is, what happens when they have the match? What if Kevin Nash, the old, broken-down guy, beats CM Punk?
Well, that would be an issue.
What happens
that would be an issue, but it would be an issue regardless of what CM Punk said in this promo.
Well, sure, but there's a line that you need to be careful of crossing when you're doing a promo that is, in fact, going to lead to a wrestling match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was that segment. And then things went deep, deep downhill as Jack Swagger wrestled Alex Riley. There were five people on commentary. They were all fucking with each other. It was horrible.
Actually, only four of them were fucking with each other. Jim Ross was just there trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
There were hijinks with his hat. Vicky took it for no reason. She distracted the ref. They had the worst finish of 2011. It's up on the board in animated GIF form. You can watch Jack Swagger try desperately to suplex Alex Riley. And when Jack Swagger can't get you up for a suplex, something has gone horribly, horribly awry. So, yeah, this segment was the biggest disaster in a long, long, long time. And then there was a backstage promo with Swagger and Vicky. The point of this was he was trying to convince her that all great managers have multiple clients. You should expand your roster. But there was a point in this promo where he just, much like Brooke Tessmacher forgot her comeback, Swagger forgot what he was doing. And he just stopped talking, and he breathed hard for a bit, and he put his towel around his face and collected his thoughts and just kept going. Live TV, everyone. And then, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne versus David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy in a match where Michael Cole, at no point, and I mean at no point, did he make the slightest attempt to get anything in the match over. He buried the challengers, he buried the champions, he buried the announcers, he buried the belts. Towards the end, I mean, right as the finish, as Kofi was going for a big giant dive, he just says, he started reading about like Kofi's college background, but it was just like he was reading off a form with fake enthusiasm, not talking about the match at all. And Evan finally won with the Shooting Star Press. Just a complete embarrassment of a segment. That's all I have to say about Raw.
Nothing about the main event?
About when Ray... I was tired. it was a good match. Ray was selling the leg, either selling the leg like crazy, or in fact he's going to have it amputated. One of the two. He went for the 619 about 14 times and finally got it. And he went for the big splash, but Alberto got his knees up and then immediately hit the cross arm breaker and won. No, it was good. And then Cena cut a very strange promo where he accused Alberto of going into business for himself. Another insider line.
I don't know why people hate Alberto so much.
Who said anything about hating Alberto?
Oh my God, it's like the talk of the town. People do not like Alberto Del Rio. And I don't get it. I don't know. You know, Dave is constantly talking about how he's not all that good. And Todd Martin thinks he's not all that good.
What?
And I don't know. Yes, obviously CM Punk is should be the top dog right now. But it's not like, you know, they've passed over CM Punk for Kane, you know?
Yes.
This is, you know, Alberto Del Rio debuted, trivia fact, exactly 1 year ago today, in the same city as they taped SmackDown this evening. He has only been in WWE for 1 year. And in 1 year, he has gone from Well, in 1 year, he's become the champion. And isn't that all we talk about is let's create some new stars? You know?
He won the Royal Rumble.
He won the Royal Rumble. He went on, and obviously there have been some roadblocks here and there with him changing their fucking minds
some bumps in the road.
8 times.
But more importantly, he's, I don't know, I think people look at him as a star.
Yeah, I think he does.
I think he's greatly entertaining. I think he has great promos and great matches. His promo on this show, where he explained that he wanted to be a fighting champion who would sign autographs and take pictures with the children, and where he woke up every day asking himself, "Hey, Alberto Del Rio," referring to himself not only in the third person, but also using his full name, "what do you feel like doing today?" And his answer was, "beating Rey Mysterio."
Sure.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
He's got a great announcer.
Got a great... I don't know. I really like the Alberto Del Rio package.
Yeah.
You know? And they have created a new star. And yes, I could talk about this with Todd tomorrow. He's very unhappy that it's John Cena versus your 8,000th generic heel. Here's the deal. I've seen John Cena facing the same fucking generic heels over and over for years. I'm glad he's facing a brand new generic heel. You know? Great!
Yes.
John Cena and Alberto Del Rio is a match I have not seen as a world title match yet. Maybe I have. I don't remember. Let's be honest. But this is going to be a brand new feud. You know, it's something new. CM Punk can do his thing with Nash, which, quite frankly, I don't really need to see that, but we'll see how it goes.
I'm actually fascinated by that one.
Sure. That's
what the hell
be,
are they going to do?
That's
going to
be a match that people are going to be intrigued by for
yes,
a very good reason.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm fine with, I think that Alberto, I think he's fine in the ring. I think he's a fine promo. I think he's got a good gimmick with the ring announcer and, you know, let's give him a chance as champion. I've said this many, many times. Alberto Del Rio was supposed to win the title like way, way back, like at the Royal Rumble, he was going to win the title. And for the last 8 months, they have pushed it back and pushed it back and pushed it back and pushed it back. So when you're asking, you know, why is Alberto Del Rio like, you know, it seems like he's stalled and I'm bored with what's going on. Yeah, because they had an idea 8 fucking months ago and they kept changing their mind and stalling and stalling and stalling. So poor fucking guy's running in place. You know, that ain't his fault. That's their fault because they don't know what they're fucking doing. But they finally put the title on him. Let's give him a chance. It's a new guy with the belt. God knows I don't need to see another John Cena, Randy Orton match. You know, I'm fine with this.
Yeah, I'm a little stunned that there's an anti-Del Rio segment, sentiment, frankly. And then they had the Truth versus Morrison Falls Count Anywhere match. This is where we talked about Morrison just apparently trying to end his career, taking a flat back bump over the top rope to the floor. Few other hellish beatings. Then a cool finish where he suplexed Truth into a chair, hit a running knee, and actually won a match for, I think, the first time since his return, which is making this his first win in literally months.
He returned like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he was out for months. So, yes, he has not won in a long time. Before this, he cut an inset promo. It was fucking horrendous.
It was better than his old ones. I will say that.
The ones where he was talking about the Palace of Wisdom and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, those were bad.
This was an improvement.
I
all I ask is for improvement.
This is pretty goddamn bad.
It's not the best promo I've ever seen.
No. And then Miz sold a sub. That's pretty much the entire show, isn't it? That's all the important stuff.
Let's start these shout-outs here. We, of course, have a website. If you're listening to this for free right now, you get one show a week, as you're well aware, either the Brian and Vinny Show every other Tuesday, or Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer every other Monday. That's all you get. And if that is the case, especially if you love this show, if like you wake up excited every Monday or Tuesday because the new show is on your iPod, if you're one of those people, then I don't know what to tell you. It's $10.99 to sign up. That's very cheap. I realize that we may be on our way to a double dip recession, but it's $10.99. You know, if you could go into Starbucks twice during the day, that's your $10.99 right there. And for that price, you can wake up every morning. And not only will you wake up every morning with a new show on your iPod, but you can wake up every morning with like 2 to 3 shows on your iPod. This is the third show I've done today. I did a show with Doc Young, who's one of our other co-hosts. We have a number of shows available on the website. Did a breaking news audio with Dave. Covering the UFC to Fox story, and now I'm doing the Brian Vinny Show. That's 3 shows. Yesterday, I did a Wrestling Observer Radio and an interview with Rowdy Roddy Piper. So in the last 2 days, I've done 5 shows. You get one every week if you're a freeloader. Wrestling Observer Radio, Figure Four Daily, The Adam and Mike Show, The Brian and Vinny Show, Five Star Radio, Dr. Keith Show, which, by the way, just today I had an interview with Chris Masters, Wrestling Weekly, Tough Talk, Dragon King, and hopefully again someday After Dark Radio. All of these shows, not only do you get new shows from each one of these every week covering pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, history of wrestling, history of MMA, whole nine yards. Not only do you get all of those, but our entire archive dating back to 2005. Someone did the math, over 3,000 shows are available. So if you sign up right now for your $10.99, you can go in right now today and listen to 3,000 shows. You ain't going to be able to do it. You can try. But 3,000 shows are available for you if you sign up right now. We have people every now and then that post and go, I've started listening to the Brian and Vinny shows from 2005. And they're like listening to every show that we've ever done. We've done like 800 shows. And they're going through them one by one. If you listen to one Brian and Vinny show a day, it's going to take you over 2 years to listen to all of them. Isn't that right? 800? Anyway. So it's all available with a subscription. You also get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. Observer's been published since 1983. And Figure Four since 1995. Thousands of issues are available on the website. All of the issues go up into the archive. So if you sign up now, you can go back and read the issues from 2005, for example. Dave has issues up from 1991, for Christ's sake. Go back and read all of those. So anyway, if you're listening for free, you are missing out. And I've said this before, if you love this show that you're listening to for free, I guarantee you, like an old Vince McMahon guarantee, I guarantee that you will love your subscription. And if you don't, email me and we'll talk about it. But I'm pretty sure that you will not only enjoy your month, but you will sign up for many, many, many months thereafter. And if you sign up, you get a shout out. So it's time to read some of those right here. Just send it to me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Sign up and send it to me. You get 150 words. I don't care what you promote, what you want to plug. It's a free advertisement for your $10.99 as well. So that's a pretty good deal. A lot of people listen to this show. This is from Ricky. Very nice letter here. Just want to say thank you for reading my shout out. I was Ricky, he says. Just want to clarify that when I said you guys should review other shows besides Raw, SmackDown, and Impact, I didn't mean you should stop reviewing WWE and TNA. I was recommending adding on like you did this week with 24/7. Thank you and have a nice day.
Well, there you go, then. Now, see, that's a reasonable request.
See, Ricky, we are going to do more 24/7, and we're going to do a lot of stuff for you folks that sign up. We'll do more 24/7. 24/7 is always fun. All right, this is from... Well, that's
it's always
right.
Fun to listen to us talk about it.
All right, this is from Darla. Brian and Vincent, I have returned to the Empire after leaving in 2008 after being humiliated on your program.
Uh-oh.
I don't remember this. I have returned
to... Isn't that my spot, by the way, to be humiliated?
April 29th, 2008, B&V shoutouts. I don't even remember this at all.
This was 3+ years ago.
Apparently you can sign up and go back and listen to this. Anyway, it says, I've returned to rub in your face. I am the number one contender for the Saskatoon Wrestling Council's prestigious Intergender Championship. After having you both mock my physical traits, insult my hobbies, and laugh at my attempts to become a superstar grappling artist, I have fulfilled my dream. And that dream will soar ever higher Friday, August 26th at the Cosmos Civic Center. It will be my hair versus Congo Maniacal's intergender title. And Brian, Vincent, she is going to lose. I want you to feel sorry for making fun of me publicly. I am the greatest wrestler in the Saskatoon. Also, I won another Saskatoon intramural lawn dart championship. Again, you are just jealous. Maybe you're just the ones who are ugly, Brian and Vinny. You can't see me, Darla Earl. Wow.
That's also, a lot of pent-up rage.
P.S. Anyone looking for mechanic work in the Saskatoon area, head down to Big T Auto Repair. Ask for Darla, or by my wrestling alter ego, Darla Verhey.
Well.
I call shenanigans on this whole shout-out. I'm not going back to listen to the April 29th, 2008 Brian and Vinny shout-out show, but... wow, that's... all I gotta say, though, is that's consistently in storylines here on this show, unlike on Impact.
And great long-term build, too.
This is from K22. I subscribed in March 2010 to help Brian get his golden boat. Nowadays, I only DVR WWE and TNA and watch only if I have time to kill or if something newsworthy happens. Most of this shit just isn't worth blocking out 1/12 of my day. Vince McMahon is completely out of touch. Dixie Carter is the James Dolan of professional wrestling. Vinny might get that one, he says. However, with the massive ongoing audio and content archives and even the board, which he says has more interesting characters than either of the big two. That is true. You just can't go wrong, freeloaders. Even at $32 a quarter, the quantity and quality of F4W are like Darren Young's strength. Immeasurable. That's true. Immeasurable. Huge shout-outs to Brian, Vinny, and Dave for busting their asses day in and day out for pretty much being martyrs, watching and reviewing a mediocre product and a nonsensical product. Keep up the great work, Little Daddy B and Big Daddy V.
Hey, now.
And he adds, P.S., Twitter is one of the worst things to happen to many professional athletes. That's a true fucking
statement. That is not a lie at all. James Dolan owns, among many other things, the New York Knicks, who are, in fact, a giant joke.
All right, this is from Wesley. I've been a subscriber for about 3 years. My first appearance on the B&V show was during the epic Limerick battle last year, which I was the co-victor of.
Woo!
Hooray! Anyway, I've decided to finally cash in my shout-out. First, a shout-out to my beautiful fiancé, Megan, who agreed to marry me last month after 6 years of dating. Tonight, she watched the second pay-per-view she has ever seen, SummerSlam, and loved Christian versus Orton. Afterward, the cable company showed a commercial for TNA Hardcore Justice, which, by the way, is true, and that aired a week before SummerSlam, by the way, to which she said, quote, "Well, that one looks stupid." Needless to say, she is awesome. You have indeed found a winner. Second shout out to my dad, Tom, for being my co-overeater on Super China Buffet Day, where we choked down plates of undercooked, overpriced grease for the good of the empire.
Undercooked is not good.
I don't know about the undercooked.
No, we're not asking anyone to do that.
Giant screw yous to Vince Russo, the Westboro Baptist Church, Tornadoes, TNA, Leaky Radiators, Granny Haters, and whoever made the decision to pull JR from SummerSlam. Also, Satan. Thanks for the free throw that one in there. Thanks for the free shout-out, guys. Your show is awesome, even when it sucks. And I swear that last sentence makes sense. That is from Wesley.
I think it's the also Satan. Satan is an afterthought.
Sure. He just remembered.
He almost forgot to list Satan in there.
All right. This is to myself, Vincent Marie Verhey, the star of David Meltzer, Tony Leader, Dr. Keith, Mike Coughlin, Granny, Carlos Cliffy, Lynn, Whitney, and the rest of the Camp F4W, F4W Empire.
What?
I would like to announce my retirement from the board, he says. After my recent thread, replace a wrestler's name with hand job, I do not feel like there's anywhere else for me to go. I am choosing to leave while on top of my boarding career. It's been a great run. We've had some good times. When I tried to get everyone to call CM Hump, or like when I gave out his shoot address, and then Mike Coughlin threatened to come to his house and murder him, to sending Rob Gom and crumbly PM shoots. But it's time for me to leave that portion of my subscription behind. Life without the board will be tough, but I know I will have the prayers and support of everyone. I'd like to thank a few people quickly. First of all, Charles Michael Humphreys for signing me up for the website. Terry Fierro for having me in the podcast back in the day. Granny for talking to me on Facebook chat. I'd like to thank Peach Machine for being the rock and roll sensation Ryan Ash in GCW back in the day. To the cancer, William Brown, Odelay Brown, Odessa Steps, Penis Suplex, and in San Antonio, Rovert, Sexual Predator, John Wayne, and most importantly, Spreewell Rims, you will all be missed. Thank you, Brian, for giving me a place to promote my hand job humor. I feel like I've grown up in front of all of you, so I'm going to miss all this. That being said, I don't have to wear tights tomorrow, and I'm going to go eat a whole lot of ice cream tonight. If you'd like, ask me, I would do this all again. From being signed up by CM Hump, read all the threads, make all the posts, all the sleepless nights, all the surgeries, all the injuries, the metal rods in my teeth, all of it. You asked me if I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Lovingly yours, Fuzz Hard Man, 2006 through 2011. And he's got a retirement song here. I'm going to play it. And if it sucks, I'm just going to edit it out. So here we go. BNV! I've been a member since December of 06, thanks to CM Hump.
So here I am with my thoughts of you.
I got a PM shoot last week from an idiot named Fuzz Hardman. You are a useless jack-off. You should be banned. No one wants to call your gay friend. Rot in the worst circle of hell, you piss ant. Brian, if you have any sense, you will get rid of this guy now. Lastly, a shout-out to the sweet, sweet Vicky Guerrero. Best-looking tranny on network television.
Oh, no. Terrible thing to say.
Cheers, Buzz Hardman. What a retirement song.
Big finish.
What a finish. Man, the fireworks went off at the end of that song. Well, I guess Fuzz Hardman is no longer with us.
Bye, Fuzz.
What a shout-out. Was a hell of a thread to go out on, though.
Good old FH.
And just remember, Fuzz, big hand jobber. Because that's the best thing I've written on the board in a long-ass time. All right, everybody, I guess that's it for today. God damn, we went a long time.
Was it any good?
I don't know. Suppose we should finish up with one more song. I actually play this. Good God, we've been going over an hour and a half. I play this song. I don't really know what the hell's going on.
Thank God I had that coffee. Let me say that.
I don't really know what's going on with this song, but I'm going to play it. It is very strange. That's all I'll say. So, well, here we go. There was a scary situation this weekend.
Yeah.
We went down to the liquor store at the bottom of the hill, and I was very surprised to see Dave Meltzer hitting a guy with a guitar in his arm and then putting him in the cross arm breaker.
And then immediately got to their feet and began to brawl.
There was a brief melee involving mariachis. That was something else.
It was bizarre.
A lot of stupid things happened, and then Dave ran wild. And he brought out a spike!
This was fucked up.
It was very bad.
I mean, a lot happened in that fight. It's not
the
just...
The spike came into play. It really upset me. Because I knew trouble was coming. Sure as shit, seven men. People that are true gang members. And I thought, this is it. I'm done for.
It did not look good. It did not sound good.
Shortly after it started...
Well, they started attacking him.
There was gunfire. Dave stood there and cackled in an outfit for the millennium. Covered in blood.
Mm.
And like a cold-blooded psychopath just says, "You got swanned!"
That amused me.
It was really weird.
He seemed like a very reasonable human being who was about to perform an execution.
The problem was not something simple. It was, well, Dave Meltzer decked out to the nines. He was beating their ass all night long.
Finally got cold and came inside.
Bleeding all over the place.
He was angry and intense, and he talked for a long time silently.
He went into a
Kids
trance.
Me.
He mentioned he was going to headline WrestleMania. He's been in the gym. He's been training. He's probably in the best shape of his life. Later on in the evening, he did not look good.
Yeah.
Dave went into the bathroom and for an inappropriate amount of time, and then he slinked away, and I thought, oh, I'm fucked. Whatever he did was bad. This appalled me.
He should have gigged his scrotum. Are you laughing with the drop or at it?
I'm laughing at you. I have no idea what that was.
It was not entertaining.
But it was a hell of a story.
No, it wasn't.
It was a hell of a tale.
It was a bunch of random... Well, that's what it was. A bunch of random drops that made no sense.
It told a story.
It lost me.
It told a better story than Impact last
Something
week.
About a guy going into the bathroom and kicking a scrotum.
That's entertainment.
Well, I stand corrected. You've won the debate.
All right, everybody. We're out of here. Sign up today. This was free. But you ain't get another one for a long time unless you sign up. In which case, you're going to get one in 2 days. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.